Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. We appreciate so much you're tuning in today. We're looking at Luke chapter 24 this morning. Luke chapter 24, and we will begin reading in verse 13. Now, this is a very familiar and a very interesting story from Luke chapter 24. Many people have read this story, and it's also quite long. It involves many passages of Scripture, and so since it is a long account, we're going to get right to our text today and begin in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. The Bible says that there were two of them. Now, these are not the apostles that are being talked about here. These are not two of the 12 that Jesus chose. And we know that because later on, these two that we're talking about in verse 13 went back to Jerusalem and they reported to the 11 apostles about what they had seen and what they had heard. So they're two followers of Jesus. They're two disciples of Jesus in that sense. One of them is named down in verse 18. The Bible says that his name was Cleopas. The Bible says that they were on this day going from Jerusalem to this village. What day is he talking about here in verse 13? They went that same day. The same day is what? Well, that's the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. That's the very day of Jesus' resurrection. The Bible says that they're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The scriptures say in the King James Version that this was about 70 furlongs. Now that would be just under about 7 miles. And they're walking. And it was not unusual back in those days for people to walk many miles in one day. These two men are walking along then on this road. And in verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." And we ask again the question, what things? Well, specifically, they were talking about what had happened to Jesus. They're talking about him being arrested, him being condemned to die, him being crucified, buried, and at this point, they don't know that he has risen from the dead. They don't believe that at all at this stage. The Bible says, as they're talking about what had happened to Jesus, in verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now they have no idea that this is Jesus. Verse 16 says, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." They were so focused on what they were talking about. They were so intense in talking about Jesus' death and everything that surrounded it that they were unaware that Jesus was right next to them. Now, there's another reason for that that we're given in Mark chapter 16, and I don't know of anywhere else in the Bible where it's said like this. In Mark's account of this very story that we're looking at in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says, "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, that is, to the rest, neither believed they them." But I want you to notice in verse 12 that he's talking about this very story that we're reading in detail here in Luke chapter 24. And Mark's account in Mark 16 verse 12 says that he appeared to them in another form. Now, I don't know the details of that because the Bible does not specifically describe what that means. And so all we could do is just conjecture and guess about that, and that's not really worth anything. The Bible just tells us that he appeared in another form. Whatever that means, whatever that consisted of, that's what happened on this occasion. So the Bible says that Jesus is right there by them. And then he begins to talk to them. In verse 17, he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" So Jesus wanted to know, what are you talking about? Why are you so sad? And that's when one of them was surprised that Jesus would ask this. And in verse 18, one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" He's saying to Jesus, "Don't you know about what's happened? Where have you been all this time?" You see, this would be like somebody on 9/11, or let's say the day after 9/11. Suppose somebody went into a restaurant and heard people talking about the Twin Towers and everything that happened, and this person had not heard about it at all and goes up to a table and says, "What are you talking about? What happened to the Twin Towers?" Somebody would say, "You haven't heard? You don't know what we're talking about?" And so that's the way that Cleopas answers Jesus. He's just shocked that here's somebody that's asking about what had happened, because all of Jerusalem was really focused on this trial and what had happened to Jesus. The Bible says in verse 19 that Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." So these two followers of Jesus began to tell Jesus what had happened to him. They're unaware, they're totally oblivious as to who they're talking to here. And in verse 20, the Bible says, "And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." And that's where they ended it right there. You see, they didn't even go into his resurrection at all. They didn't even look at that as being a viable possibility, much less something that was certain because of Jesus' promise. But we trusted, and that literally means we were hoping, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We were hoping, we really had our hearts set on this man, Jesus of Nazareth, being the one that would redeem Israel. Now, by redeeming Israel here, they're not talking so much about saving Israel from their sins. They're talking about redeeming Israel from the standpoint of restoring the nation to power, because that is what most Jews look for in the Messiah. They were looking for somebody to come to restore national order and power. So they were looking at it from a political and from a national standpoint, that they wanted the Messiah to redeem Israel. We really had our hearts set on that, and now he's dead. And besides all this, in verse 21, they say, "Today is the third day since these things were done." Now, we've already looked at the fact that it was common knowledge among Jesus' followers that he was going to rise the third day. Even Jesus' enemies knew about that. And so here are these two followers of Jesus, and they're down and out. They're discouraged. They're depressed. They're sad because the Messiah has been killed, and they're talking right there to him, and they're telling him what had happened and how that it's the third day. And in verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him," that is Jesus, "they saw not." Now it looks like, folks, that from everything that they said here, that they should have been able to put this together. They should have been able to piece this together so that they said, "Well, his body is not in the tomb, and he said he was going to rise the third day, so that means he's been resurrected." But they didn't even look in that direction. They didn't even evidently give that a serious thought. You see, the whole thing should have been obvious. What did Jesus tell them? He said, "I'll rise the third day," but it seems that they did not even consider that as being a real possibility. Now, if you wonder why Jesus got on to them so hard in the verses that follow, this is why. It's because they were being stubborn. It's because of their unbelief. They should have believed what Jesus said. And I know it's easy for us to look back at them and to get on to them and to see where they went wrong. And we wonder about ourselves, had we lived back in that age, would we have done any better? Would we have done anything different from what they did? Would we have believed? Well, we obviously need to be careful about overestimating how much faith we would have in that situation and being too hard on these people. But at the same time, there was no excuse for it. There was no reason why that these men should not believe. And he goes into that beginning in verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You're being foolish." You know what the prophet said. You know what I have promised. You know what I have taught and what I have promised. And you have also seen the miracles that I have performed. You have heard my teaching. You have seen what I've done. So there's no reason why that you should doubt. And so he calls them fools. They are fools in a moral and spiritual sense, folks, because they have not believed what the Bible says. And he says, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus had told them, the Old Testament prophets had said it time and time again, and yet here they are. Instead of just believing what Jesus said, they're down and out and they're discouraged. And folks, I believe that there's a practical lesson there, and that is that Christian people sometimes get discouraged simply because they don't believe the Bible. If we believe the Bible and we believe the promises of the Bible, if we have faith in the Word of God, that is going to keep us from being so discouraged like many people are today. I'm not saying that a Christian never gets discouraged, that we can be so strong as children of God that we're not going to get down and out, because everybody does. John the Baptist did, Elijah did, Moses did, Jeremiah did. It's going to happen to us all. But at the same time, we don't need to be like these two men here who were down and out and discouraged simply because they were slow of heart to believe. Had they believed what Jesus said to begin with, they wouldn't have faced this discouragement and this depression. So the Bible tells us in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now that is one Bible class we would love to have been in. Jesus went through the Old Testament and he showed them the prophecies about himself. He took them to the Bible and he said, "See this passage? That's about me. See this one? That's also about me." He showed them what Moses and David and Isaiah and all these other Old Testament prophets said about him. And after this, the Bible tells us in verses 28 through 31 that Jesus ate with them. And then in a remarkable passage in verse 31, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. This is just something that happened after Jesus' resurrection. There were miraculous appearances of Jesus Christ and miraculous disappearances of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 31, we have it plainly said there that he vanished out of their sight. The Bible says in verse 32, they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And the Bible says then in verse 33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread," that is, in eating a meal with them. And the very fact that he ate with them was just extra proof that he indeed was risen from the dead. Now, very quickly here, I want to notice a few lessons about what we've read this morning. Number one, be careful what you say. You never know who you might be talking to. Number two, be patient. It may look like things have turned out for the bad and even for the worse. But wait and look deeper and trust in the promises of God. And number three, the truth can be right in front of us and we can be too stubborn to open our eyes to it. Let that not be the case with us. Let us believe God and have faith in His Word. Thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.